Morning. One of the most awe-inspiring animals in all of God's creation is the eagle. I never get tired of watching these magnificent raptors. They fly so powerfully, and they soar so gracefully. They are expert fishermen, well, usually, anyway. And they build nests that can get up to 9 feet wide. A bear even hibernated in an eagle's nest in Wisconsin just a couple of winters ago. Ben Franklin didn't think eagles were so great, though. He didn't like our nation's choice of the eagle as our national symbol because eagles steal. He said an eagle would sit high up in its perch up in a tree and wait for a smaller bird like an osprey to catch a fish, and then follow the osprey to the nest and steal a free meal and take it to go. Ben joked that the symbol, the national symbol, actually made the eagle look more like a turkey. And he suggested that the turkey, albeit an ugly bird, would have made a more honorable symbol. And other people, like Thomas Jefferson, didn't like the choice of the eagle either. He didn't want our nation to be associated with the Roman Republic, because the Romans commonly used the symbol of the eagle too. But you know, it's just hard to argue much against the majestic eagle. They do, after all, have some redeeming qualities. They take very good care of their young, for one thing. The eggs are covered 24/7 for 35 straight days by their parents. And after hatching, care is taken to feed the constantly hungry young eaglets. And the parents are careful to walk around in the nest with their feet fisted up so they don't skewer one of their young with their sharp talons. When the parents finally decide it's time for a young eaglet to fly, they quit feeding it. This way, for a couple days, it starves and loses its baby fat, you know, that dead weight, which would keep him from flying. And then the young eagle becomes spry enough to fly. And then when the time is right, the adult will coax it out of the nest by dangling a delicious dead rabbit or gopher or something out, fly around till finally the starving young eagle can't stand it anymore, and he jumps out. And he gets rewarded on the ground with food. You know, in a way, you are the young eaglet. No, not because you're soft, cute, and cuddly, but you are in that preparatory time in your life right now, developing until the day when you finally graduate from the nest and fly out into the world on your own. But some young eagles try to leave the nest long before the time is right. They think they're ready as they take that leap from the nest and begin flapping. And at first, that new freedom is exhilarating. But this initial flight deteriorates quickly. The power to stay aloft just isn't there yet. And as our young eagle loses altitude, it becomes inevitable that the flight will end on the ground instead of back up in the safety and protection of the nest. So now, the parents have to work overtime. While one parent continues feeding, you know, the other eaglet that's still in the nest, the other adult turns its attention to the one that's on the ground, feeding and protecting it from harm. At this point, the young eagle is too heavy to be carried back up to the nest and can't fly on its own, and he's not mature enough to get food by himself. So now there's a race against time. The adult tries to get the young eagle strong enough to fly before a predator catches scent of the easy meal to devour. You know, odds are our young eagle is not going to make it. Don't be in a hurry to leave your nest too soon. You're in a good place right now. You're gradually losing your baby fat, as it were, and you're growing as a student, and growing as a person, and growing as a Christian. Isaiah 40. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice the phrase, wait on the Lord. As soon as we rush out ahead of the Lord and we rely on our own strength, we get into trouble. And on the other hand, if we lag way behind, we lose our way. But when we inquire of the Lord and we wait for Him to lead, we are rewarded with His power and grace. Moses wrote about that. He wrote about the relationship between God and Jacob, or his people, the Israelites. He wrote, "As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him." One of our problems is that we have filled our schedules jam-packed with so many things. There don't seem to be enough hours in the day. You know, but each day we need to just turn off our cell phones long enough to have fellowship with God, reading His Word, speaking with Him in prayer, all alone, and in groups, and listening patiently for His still small voice to guide us. Not running way out ahead of Him or lagging way behind, but walking close at His side. When we young eaglets remain with Him, we need not fear. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. But we don't only need protection. We need forgiveness. Think of all the times we incur His wrath, and what we get out of it is pardon. God is still forgiving as we are still sinning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When God, by the graces and comforts of His Spirit, recovers His people from their wayward ways and fills them with new life and joy, they may then be said to return to the days of their youth. And later in life, when your wings are in full plumage and you're building a nest of your own, you'll have days that go great, days that go just how you planned them. But lest you get complacent and rely more on yourself than on God, He might send a storm into your life. And when those storms of life come, don't view them as barriers or God's punishment, but rather as God's instrument to bring you closer to Him. In other words, use the storm. Use those warm thermal updrafts and soar upward in a spiritual sense and get closer to Him. Come closer to Him for protection. And get closer to Him for forgiveness. We sing about this in two stanzas on the screen.